This is Side Podcast episode 16. The championship starts here. Hello, welcome back. What a ridiculously long break.
Oh, I missed you.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you liked the beginner's guide. And now that everyone's all on the same page, we're back. It was probably bad timing, really, because I was talking about races and there wasn't anything to watch. It's been so bad that we've actually been watching the snooker.
We have.
It's all revving up again now, though. Oh. Hey, see what I did there? There's a bit of news to talk about and some testing. And then next week, of course, F1 returns to Europe.
Yes.
So let's start with a bit of a news roundup.
What's on your radar?
Well, it was quite a while ago, but Spyker decided to take part in an event called Full Throttle. It sounds exciting. It was basically a race between Albers in the F1 car and the Royal Netherlands Air Force in an F-16 fighter jet. Quite obviously, Albers lost.
Do you not think if Spyker were in charge of organising this event, they might have picked something they could actually win at?
Well, you would think, but I suppose they were that bored
right,
that they would take on a fighter jet. And everyone was talking about it, so it obviously worked.
Yes.
As a good promotional event.
But there was not a lot going on, was there?
No. They can drown their sorrows in their new Heineken bar.
Ah.
They're going to open an F1-themed sports bar in the Netherlands, sponsored by Heineken.
Right, so you're talking about a bar that sells alcohol,
mm-hmm.
sponsored by a car company.
Yes, don't drink and drive.
Gotcha. Who else has been busy then?
Well, Nick Heidfeld, he's been a busy boy. He took his BMW and drove around the full Nürburgring circuit.
Ah.
It's actually called Nordschleife, right. But I can't pronounce that and I prefer Nürburgring.
Nürburgring it is then.
It's the first time since 1976 that an F1 car has been round the whole thing.
Right. That was when Niki Lauda lost his ears, right?
If you say so. I don't remember.
You weren't born then.
The full circuit is enormous. Over 70 corners. By comparison, Silverstone has 8.
Right.
They wouldn't let him go particularly fast, and he was on demonstration tyres, and he had to slow down for photographers, so it took him about 8.5 minutes, but I don't think the timing was that important.
Can I ask a question at this point?
Please do.
Why does a Formula One car have to slow down for photographers? Don't F1 photographers have these like really fast lenses? I mean, we see photographs from Grand Prix throughout, you know, every single week. How come? Because it's a Nürburgring, he has to slow down and have like a bit of a slow pass through.
Because it was super duper important.
Was it?
Mm.
Or were they just poor photographers?
Well, maybe they were doing it for the people, the fans.
Oh, was it?
Because they were stood there watching him and, you know, he'd zoom past in a second and then they'd have to wait 8 minutes to come back again.
That's a classic. What, and he went around 3 times?
Apparently, you could hear him when he was about 2 minutes away.
So oh, okay.
You hear it for 2 minutes, whoosh, he's gone, and then you would wait.
Another 8 minutes. Mm. Bring it on.
There are lots of clips on YouTube
mm-hmm.
of, you know, each fan took their own camera, caught a clip of him, but each one is only about 6 seconds long. So if you were dedicated, you could try and piece them all together. You might be able to get a whole lap, but, you know.
Good Lord.
Who has that kind of time?
Okay.
Before the event, Nick really wasn't that bothered. Considering it's in Germany, you'd think he'd be interested.
Right, yep.
But I think because, obviously, like you said, 1976 was a long time ago.
He wasn't born then either, was he?
But by the end of it, he was having a whale of a time and didn't want to stop.
Ah. Yeah, it kind of does that to you. I mean, I'm just the same when I'm playing, you know, on the PlayStation. Just the same thing. I know how he feels. I can sympathise.
In order to keep radio contact with the car, a helicopter had to follow him round because the satellite equipment couldn't get through the trees.
Right.
And even then, it wasn't 100% and sometimes they lost contact.
Wow. A Formula One car out there on its own.
I know. That's not all he's doing, though.
Right. What else are you up to?
This week, Nick is taking motorsport to compare it with sailing and golf. Sailor, don't laugh. Sailor Tony Kolb.
Right.
Golfer Jose Manuel Lara.
Uh-huh.
Who's heard of them.
Right.
Will each play a series of holes in Valencia.
Uh-huh.
Then drive little racing cars at the BMW Racing Centre.
Right.
And then sail some America's Cup yachts. I can't wait. This is what happens when you mess up the calendar. Bernie, please take notes. People are playing golf and watching snooker.
Brilliant. What else is going on then?
Well, you know how we all think that Ferrari are big fat cheaters?
You can't say that. I don't think that. I think they're lovely.
Okay.
Salt
well,
of the earth.
Anyway, Two former Ferrari employees, Mauro Iacconi and Angelo Santini,
easy for you to say,
have been found guilty of industrial espionage by a Moderna court.
Okay.
They used to work at Maranello, and they nicked some files and flogged them to Toyota. So actually, it's Toyota who are the big cheaters.
I see.
Santini got 9 months in prison. Iacconi got 1 year and 4 months. Both are appealing. And talking of Toyota, their team principal, Tomita Tsutomu... Oh, I'm loving the names this week.
Say that again.
Tomita Tsutomu is leaving in June.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like Ron Dennis or Flavio quitting. So...
No one seems to care.
Well, I haven't really heard much about that. That's the team principal of Toyota is leaving in June, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's going to be taken over by someone called... Oh, great. Tadashi Yamashina.
Okay.
He's been vice chairman since December.
Oh, loads of F1 experience then.
Yeah.
But no one's bothered.
No, who cares?
I think that says everything you need to know about Toyota, doesn't it? Their team principal leaves. No one's bothered.
More people news. Supposedly, Ross Brawn is in talks with Honda. But everyone is denying it. We don't believe a word of it, although it would be quite cool.
It would steal his reputation. If Ross Brawn was to come into a team like Honda, who some say are struggling right now.
Everyone says.
And he were to turn it around, then that would certainly seal his reputation in F1 history, wouldn't it? The question is that what he really wants?
Well, the thing is, he's a man that likes a challenge, but on the other hand, it's life without Michael Schumacher, and can you really top that?
That's true. Well, see, if he was to break away from Schumacher and do this thing with Honda, then you could, you know, it would give him more credence as opposed to someone who just... lived on the back of Michael Schumacher's successes. On the other hand, he's got to put up with the bosses at Honda and the continual meddling that kind of keeps going on from there. I don't think I'd want to do that kind of thing.
He's probably looking for any job, though, because he's sick of watching it on TV, isn't he? Apparently, he, like the rest of the UK, can't stand ITV's coverage. And I quote... It's definitely a new experience for me to watch it with a different perspective, and also the quality of commentators on English TV. I sympathise with you, it's a very frustrating business to watch F1 on British TV. Our commentators don't seem very good at conveying what's going on. It's very frustrating to watch a race. Condolences for that.
Wow!
It's good to know that it's not just us.
Goodness me. Someone's actually come out and said it. Someone in the high echelons of F1, or, you know, someone high up. In that world.
Someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
It says that the people on TV don't know what they're talking about. That's brilliant. I do have a question, though. Is this really the first time the man's actually watched ITV?
Well, I guess he's always been at the races. Why would he have watched them?
Well, it's no one in the team thought maybe we'll just record some F1 coverage just to see what the fans are seeing, just to see their perspective on it. Did no one tape it and just show it to him later?
But it's a well-known fact that Formula One people don't care about the fans.
Someone in some team somewhere must have looked, just thought, let's just tape it. They must have maybe read something bad about James Allen on the internet and just thought, what's wrong with him?
If it was me, I'd tape it because I'd want to see myself on TV.
Would you? Clearly Ross doesn't.
Out of the blue, without other teams protesting publicly, the FIA has instigated a further clampdown on movable floors.
This is intriguing because... they did this, they revised the testing procedures in Malaysia, didn't they? They upped it to 500 newtons after McLaren protested. Now, seemingly of their own want, they've decided to quadruple that value to 2,000 newtons. And again, that's after the spring has been removed.
So they're trying to reflect what happens when the teams are actually going fast. Because the cheating is what happens when they're testing and what happens when they're actually racing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess essentially when the car's stationary, it's harder to test what's happened to the car when it's in motion. So presumably by increasing the number of newtons that are being forced onto this tray, they are trying to emulate what's actually happening when the car's at speed.
So is it going to be a problem for people?
Well, unlike the change in Malaysia, which probably affected 4 or 5 teams, I think this is going to affect every single team. That's such a huge increase that almost everybody's going to have to change their car, aren't they? They're going to have to kind of increase the thickness of the carbon fibre of the tray, and they're going to have to probably raise the ride height. So that's going to hit performance left, right and centre.
So is that like next year or something?
No, this is immediate. So presumably the teams have been implementing this in the Barcelona testing this week.
They'll have had to be scrambling to try and sort it out. There's not much notice.
No, actually. What was it? Probably the same amount of notice they had in Malaysia. At least they've got a test before this race. And I guess that's why the FIA pushed it through, just to give them time.
Listen up, everyone. If you ride a sport bike and you're not listening to the Knee Dragon Podcast, you're not getting the whole story. The Knee Dragon Podcast is motorcycle talk that doesn't suck. We cover all things sport bike related, from superbike and MotoGP racing to the newest street sport bikes, from riding technique to the latest technology. If it affects our sport, it's in the show. So check it out. www.kneedragon.net.
Before the official test in Barcelona, McLaren went to Menorca for straight line tests. It's the first time an F1 car has been on the island, and by all accounts, the team liked it and will return in the future. It's very convenient for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a ferry, ferry ride away from where they would be testing anyway. I think they moved there. Didn't they get banned from RAF Elvington in the UK due to people complaining about the noise?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Great Britain, the home of motorsport.
Mm. Whilst they were there, they installed a very cool front wing, which essentially brings an extra bit of carbon fibre over the top of the existing wing. It basically looks like an open mouth.
Yeah, it comes out over top of the nose, doesn't it?
Mm. They seem to like it.
Yep.
Seemed to work well for them. So they might run it on Friday.
Actually, talking of Friday testing, I read somewhere, I forget where it was now, that you know this new thing they have of running cars on Fridays before the Grand Prix? And freeing up their engine rules so they can go as many laps as they can.
Yes.
Part of the deal of bringing that in was to reduce testing throughout the year. So teams get less car days throughout the year than they had last year, and they only get to run one car at a time. But as a product of that, one of the problems seems to be, on Fridays you have to run FIA legal cars, so cars that pass all the tests. So you can't try risky things, risky strategies and new ideas in testing,
which you would do if you were testing normally.
Essentially, like the McLaren, the four wing mirrors on the McLaren, that kind of thing. You can't run on the Friday test, so teams are actually missing out, and there might be a little bit of a problem coming up in the future with Friday tests because of that.
New front wings were all the rage this week with Honda's new additions to the car. They are little extra wings forward of the driver, and they stick out of the nose. Some people are suggesting that it might make the car look a bit like Dumbo.
Right.
You know, the elephant with the big flappy ears. I don't think so.
I swear they're doing this on purpose. I'm sure. Do you think
it's a competition to make their car look as stupid as possible?
Let's make a mockery of our brand. Honda the elephant.
It turns out they didn't work, though.
No. There's a surprise. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm no aerodynamicist, but you could look at those things and say, that's not going to make a car go faster, is it? It really, you know, some things are just blindingly obvious.
Well, they obviously thought it was going to make a difference. They'd done wind tunnel testing, so what's up with the wind tunnel?
They're clearly sticking these things on the car because it's lacking in something. So they're trying to put, with front wings, they must be trying to put more downforce on the front of the car. And presumably, in order to make such a device and get it to the track, the wind tunnel must have given them good enough results for them to try it. The fact that they're getting results from the wind tunnel that aren't transferring to the track leads to some kind of issue at the wind tunnel department, probably in the calibration front or something along that area. I mean, there was a rumour not so long ago that whilst doing some wind tunnel testing, something broke either on the car or within the tunnel itself, and that ended up in large objects flying around and kind of smashing big holes within the wind tunnel. So they might still be suffering from that if that were true.
But wouldn't they have fixed that?
Well, it depends what the damage is. I mean, potentially. Or maybe they fixed it and they didn't get it quite right. I mean, I'll tell you something else. Was it in F1 Racing magazine this month? I forget where I saw it. But there was a photograph of them attaching little bits of fluff to the back wing and then sticking a camera on it and filming them. Like, as if they now no longer have faith in any of their wind tunnel results. They're actually literally, that's old school aerodynamic testing, sticking bits of fluff on your wing and filming it, isn't it?
So Nick Fry is definitely out the door then.
Rumours that Nick Fry has lost control and is on his way out should not be underestimated. So apart from Honda and the new front wings, how did testing go?
Well, for some teams it was better than for others. On the first day, Kazuki Nakajima,
right,
don't laugh, I'm trying my best.
Okay.
He totaled his Williams. forcing the team to fly out new parts from England. Then it rained, and the next day, Nico Rosberg did only a couple of laps before totaling his car. Williams gave up and went home early. The test was extended because of the rain.
Hold on. Haven't you missed something?
What?
We haven't talked about Ferrari.
What about Ferrari?
Well, all this kind of hoopla about McLaren's new front wings.
Mm-hmm.
When Ferrari turned up with a whole brand new car.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you? Well, it features like a completely reshaped engine cover with these tiny little side pods. The engine cooling system allows them to run a more aggressive bodywork settings. And Toro Rosso boss Franz Tost said, "What Ferrari is testing is basically a new car." While Felipe Massa is quoted as saying, "We are at least half a second faster than before."
So why is it different?
Ferrari engineers figured that every year, their car is a compromise between keeping the engine cool in the hot races of Bahrain, Malaysia and Australia, while still running them efficiently in the cooler climates of Europe. So what they've basically done is figured that this year, you've got the hot races all at the beginning of the year, and then it goes to the cooler climates for a while. So what they've done is they've got two design teams running throughout the winter to build one cool car for the hot races and one fast car for the cooler races. Until this week, it was basically a secret. No one knew about it.
Well, that's why I didn't know about it.
And they've rolled it out with no fuss, with no expectations, and bang, top of the timesheets. First couple of days.
Until it started raining.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know exactly how fast it is, but potentially if it had been a dry test the whole week, they'd have topped the timesheets every single day.
That is really, really smart.
It is. They've outsmarted everybody, especially McLaren with their new front little wing.
Yeah, it just seems a bit insignificant compared to an entire new car. After it rained, David Coulthard was fastest.
He was.
I don't really understand because he was fastest in pre-season testing and the media went mental. This time, nothing.
Well, part of the reason is the team are still trying to work out exactly how fast their car really is. Both Coulthard and Webber were running low fuel laps when the weather was good. And on Friday, Coulthard pulled out an extra special lap before the rain came, probably running Honda-type fuel levels.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the rain started and no one else had a chance to beat him. He was quite fast in the last race, wasn't he? So maybe they found some extra pace in that newy package.
So he might catch up to BMWs then in the middle.
I think they're looking like, certainly by mid-season, they could be the best of the rest, yeah.
The next race is in Barcelona on the 13th of May at the Circuit de Catalunya. It's 2.875 miles, which will be 66 laps. And the last three winners were Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, and before that, Michael Schumacher. Do you like this track?
Yeah, last year was awesome. At the beginning of the season last year, Alonso said, "There's a couple of tracks I haven't won on, and I want to win on them this year." And Barcelona was one of the ones he picked out. And goodness me, did he win on it. Last year, it was all about, the whole year was about Renault versus Ferrari and Alonso versus Schumacher. And in Barcelona, he absolutely put the manners on Schumacher, miles ahead. Pole position and led by about 8 seconds or something at the end of the race, wouldn't it? This year is going to be one to watch because I expect Alonso to want to come back and make amends for the last race.
Home Grand Prix.
Yep.
All the fans.
Hopefully, the interest in Alonso and McLaren's kind of whole pushing of the Spanish connection this coming week will be a bit of a rest for Hamilton and that whole hype kind of thing building up.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe if the British journalists have their way.
Depends if he does well or not, really.
Yeah. So that should be good. That should be good to keep an eye on. And really, we've had a 4-week break, and aren't you looking forward to it?
Oh God, so much.
Come on. Essentially, you've got the three main contenders for the championship are all on equal points. So the championship basically starts here.
It's almost as if those previous races never happened.
Absolutely. You can just wipe them off as irrelevant. We're all on equal points and we're going racing this weekend.
Recently, Renault announced that they're infiltrating Second Life, which is cool, but Second Life sucks.
Is that all you're going to say about it?
Yeah, I figured that out a long time ago.
Well, if nothing else, it kind of tells me that Renault are the cutting edge of marketing, if not the cutting edge of racing. I mean, they haven't given away many details yet, but it looks like all the usuals are going to be there. They're going to have avatars for Heike and avatars for Fizzy and probably Flav. He'll be in there in his sharp suits, probably running the business. But some of the lesser-known team members might also get to have a say.
But Second Life sucks.
Well, you say that. I mean, I heard this news and I thought, well, that might be interesting. Side Podcast isn't in Second Life. We should be. So I went on there, went to sign up, looked at the details. This is what you have to do. Fill in this information. I couldn't choose a second name.
No, they give you a list of surnames to choose from.
I can have one of 20, but I couldn't type in my own second name.
I think you chose quite a good one, considering considering your feelings.
Registered Side Podcast Ferrari. Because that's the only surname that was even vaguely motor racing relevant was Ferrari. I'm assuming that Renault aren't Renault Ferrari.
No.
But there wasn't. So I can't wait to see what their second name's going to be. Maybe they've paid for to have their own thing or something. I don't know if they've got some kind of special arrangement, but I can't see them being called Renault Ferrari.
So do you intend to get all immersed in the whole Second Life thing then?
I don't know.
You haven't done anything yet.
No. I haven't had time to do anything.
You got annoyed with the whole surname thing and just left it.
I sulked for a week. It depends really. I'm probably going to wait and see what they do. Have a look around. Some other podcasters are on there, so maybe we should be part of the podcasting thing. I don't know, really. I'm interested to see what Renault are going to do with it, because if it's very good, other teams, well, they won't follow, because the other teams aren't listening, really. I mean, they might be able to do something interesting with it, and if it brings the fans closer and it offers something unique, well, good for them.
This week on the blog, you wrote a post about GP Live.
I did.
Because we're going.
Yep.
And you got featured on F1 Fanatic.
I did.
Every now and again, they do a post that's like F1 in the blogs, and they pick out some of the best posts that they've come across. And they featured you.
Again, I think you'll find.
Yes, yes, you've been featured twice.
In 2 weeks, I think you'll find.
Well, I don't think this is very fair, because I'm supposed to be the writer.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be the one that blogs and gets all the credit. What are you doing?
I had a bit of time on my hands, and I fitted in a couple of words here and there. And I guess, I don't know, I guess they felt there was some merit in them and featured them. So thanks, F1Fanatic.co.uk. And you better get writing, I think.
Yes. It was a very good post, though.
Was it?
We'll link to it. But basically, they picked out 50 of the top links to F1 blogs.
Yes. And things.
So there's a lot to look through. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, in these last 4 weeks of boredom, it would have been great if it was at the beginning.
There wouldn't be any great blogs then, because there was nothing to talk about.
That's true. As it is, we've got to kind of get it all in before the race starts this week. But very good post, worth checking out.
But also, you've been featured on the Stock Car Zone, haven't you? You've been so busy.
Yeah, the Stock Car Zone podcast. They were talking, I think, a couple of weeks ago about the chance of Formula One and NASCAR both racing at the same event in the same weekend. So, you know, when Formula One goes to the States, they race at Indianapolis.
And make it a big joint fanfare.
Yeah, like racing fans together. And obviously, you and I know that's never going to work. I wrote an email to Corey at the Stock Car Zone and basically pointed out that the FIA and Bernie absolutely despise NASCAR because they fear it. They fear that its popularity will usurp F1's popularity on the global stage, and therefore they would never encourage any kind of collaboration, because they always want to be at the top of the tree and they're absolutely shaking in their boots. So I basically put that in an email and Corey very kindly read it out.
So that's all our news on this bumper edition of Side Podcast. Next week we'll be covering the race as usual.
Yay!
Two podcasts.
Oh yes!
Join us on Saturday.
Absolutely, and don't miss watching the numbers on the FIA's website. That's great.
Because that's all you can do.